get something, something. Check out Holmberg's Morning Sickness Podcast at 98kupd.com.
Yeah, bring up that prick for you. Anyway, bring up that awful Dave Pret prick. My God, what a horrible human being.
I've just been hearing his life story.
Yeah, he's a terrible.
Wow.
Human. Stole from charity. That's all you need to know.
Yeah. I think he owes charity a few hundred grand,
no,
according
at least,
to you.
The very least.
By the way, thanks, Dick Toledo, for my American shirt.
Yeah, we found the American shirt.
This is such the best show. You wish for something and it happens.
Isn't it great? We have it all.
It's like genie in a bottle. Poof.
Well, wow. He did a poof joke.
Yeah. And now I have a great...
What's a good English gay slur? What's one that would get you?
I don't care about any of them.
I know, but if it did, like, ooh, that one does kind of sting.
Yeah,
Poof is nothing.
Bum Bandit.
Bum Bandit's pretty good.
I like that one, right?
That's pretty funny.
Nice alliteration.
But no, they don't have one that's, like, really just hard-hitting.
Probably. I don't know.
Because you still call cigarettes the F word.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's no big deal.
No.
Yeah, that doesn't even count as that.
And hasn't changed now?
No, they still call cigarettes the F word. I think because...
the homo F word, not the bad F word.
The homo F word.
Yeah, homo F word.
See, it's weird to me that you could... see, you could throw that out as a casual slur in the UK and people would be like, sure. Oh, it's not very nice. But,
right.
But if
deal.
You said half the stuff that we say...
Yeah.
You know, like I said, we have a growing fan club of this show in
of
the UK.
Racists.
People listen to, well, people listen to this on the podcast, and I always remind them, I'm glad you enjoy it. Don't play it in any offices or at work.
It's like it's like we're Mormons, and you're the kid on the bus teaching us curses. We didn't know any of these slurs until you showed up. You've actually made us worse people.
Yeah.
By showing up teaching us all these new slurs.
Dirty limey.
Yeah. Filthy limey.
You going to wear that shirt?
Yeah, you got to put that on now.
Yeah, I might I'll just like hang it up as part of my American collection.
Well,
yeah,
you know that's
flags
against the flag code, that shirt right there. So if you wear that, you're anti-American.
We've thrown that out.
Oh, come
that's
on. Is that true?
I wish
really?
That
absolutely,
yeah.
No, that's true. You're not supposed to wear the flag.
Yeah. I wasn't planning on wearing it. I'm going to put it with everything
else.
Display it.
Yeah,
that's
display it. That's
not
it's
going to
look
flag code.
It's going to look great as
you're not supposed to
come
check it out.
Yeah, it's representative of the flag. You're not supposed to wear it as clothes.
Okay,
you know what ruined that? Bikinis in the 80s. I think we all threw it away when we saw the American flag bikinis and we're like, yeah, this is no longer a thing. I'll take that all day. They're gorgeous.
Took it out of the Constitution.
Yeah, it was just written in the flag. It was like, scratch that, unless it's a bikini. All right, we'll just scratch that one out. Everyone can wear the flag.
Yeah. No, I think it's going to be good. I can't wait till the 4th of July stuff comes out at AJ's and I can add to this as well.
Amazing.
Wow.
Brady, it's time now for you on this beautiful Thursday morning with Ian Into to entertain us. Please entertain me.
It's brought to you by Porkopolis Barbecue in Chandler and Scottsdale. And join us at the Chandler Barbecue Beer Festival, the Great American Beer and Barbecue Festival.
It's this weekend. How did you enjoy your 660
and
dinner?
Yeah, what would Brady eat was great.
Started at 660. No one ever fixed that.
At 660, yeah.
It never got fixed?
Never got fixed. Last night Megan said,
what does it mean that the food is served at 660?
I guess the address of the place
is dropping. We served it a little bit earlier. That was 7 o'clock. We served it at 6:30.
Isn't
660 still not a thing?
Isn't what would Brady eat more like what would Brady like to eat at the moment?
Right. Yeah, he can't eat anything.
It was, but we had the brisket salad.
Good, because remember, I'm backing you in this.
Right,
lot, right?
Right, right.
No dressing, no salt. No.
I'll bet you $100. I'll take John. You get Brady.
No, I'm backing the underdog. I'm not getting involved with money.
What? Why not?
Because I don't really expect.
He's saying
I don't really expect him to win.
Yeah.
I'm just backing the underdog
to
be nice because someone should root for Brady.
Put your balls on the table. Come on.
Really?
They're getting I know they're a little cut short right now because of those shorts. But
oh, you have the baby shorts back on again?
Yeah.
Look at those
summer
baby shorts.
Hey, look, they're very tight. I feel sad for his balls right now.
His balls in
there's
the vice.
Eric, Eric looking at my balls. This is a middle-aged 40 thing.
This is definitely a transition.
What did you notice about turning 40, Eric? Well, I started looking at Ian Canfield's balls.
Which are prominent, evidently.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, to Eric. I didn't notice your balls.
No,
just for reference.
Well, there you go.
You're lucky.
You've managed to get into your 40s without going through that phase.
I hang out with Ian a lot more. I don't think I've ever once looked at his balls.
No, there you go.
I have noticed his shorts are too small.
His shorts, I'm telling
you. But not in the ball area.
Attached to him. It's ridiculous.
Are you going to get big American shorts finally this summer?
Yeah, to go with these.
You got to get longer shorts.
Yeah. Okay.
Because even the ladies downstairs said, you're right, his shorts are small. I don't know if they like it, but I pointed that out, which is the reason you're on this show is my initial thing was my apology to you for creating the Ian character down in the sales department as you walked out to your car. Look at my little shorts, everyone. I'm walking out with baby shorts on. go into the Gap kids section, get more more shorties. I'm like, well, this isn't fair. That man doesn't know me. Why would I do this to him?
So and then I got to come on here and be my real character, which I could never do on 93.3.
Who still wears too small of shorts?
Well, you know, I like to keep to some stereotypes.
Yeah, all right. Is that a stereotype?
No, I well, you made
baby
one.
European shorts. They do kind of wear smaller shorts.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to get over that. Longer shorts. That's the American in you that's got to come out.
All right.
And then Eric will stop staring at your nutsack.
I can't. Well, that's reassuring.
It's not my fault.
Brady
entertained. So he's 40. He's turning 40. Eric, you can't use turning 40 as an excuse for everything.
I can't help it. My close vision's going, and all I can look at is his nuts. It happens at 40. The eye doctor said.
Bill Murray was on the Today Show, and he talked about when he hopped on a flight to Memphis. This is when Elvis Presley passed away in 1977. He got to Graceland just as public visitation hours were ending, but he met a photographer who he knew, and he was covering the whole thing, so he got hooked up. The next day, he was on a bus at the front of the funeral procession, and then he said it was amazing to see hundreds of thousands of people. It was a really hot day. He remembers he's at the cemetery, and he noticed people staring at him, pointing at him, but then he realized, oh, they weren't recognizing me.
Right.
They were pointing at the dude that was standing on Elvis's mother's grave.
Oh, geez.
She was in front of the grave site. Which was an interesting moment.
Was this the start of him gate crashing stuff? Because I like Bill Murray, but I want to say if you start by gate crashing Elvis's funeral, you've come down a few notches when you're gate crashing bar parties at Austin in the South by Southwest.
Or just showing up at people's homes.
Yeah,
it's pretty great.
I mean, yeah, pretty good. My favorite thing with him was when he read street workers' poetry in New York. You ever see that?
Oh, it's brilliant. Yeah, which is why he's got this cult following on top of being he's the only superstar celebrity that actually has an underground cult life.
Well, his thing is. He strikes me as he's not a people person and doesn't go out often. So when he does, it's like a big event.
He also steals. Evidently our general sales manager, Dana, was at a golf tournament with him.
Yeah.
And he was getting away with everything. And Bill Murray was walking through and everybody who played in this tournament got a new pair of shoes. And Bill Murray went through and started to just pile all of the size 12s or 13s, whatever they were, onto a box. And he walked out to the car and Dana had to go out and say, hey, you took my shoes. But, and goes, oh, I didn't think anybody knew.
You know what?
Just gave them back. He had like five pairs.
I feel like that's a showbiz thing. Like people who've been in showbiz for a long time, they just get used to getting stuff.
They just take it.
One of my friends worked, you know Marianne Faithfull, who dated Mick Jagger back in the day? Is she still alive? Yeah, her. She on the Metallica song, the woman who ruined that Metallica song?
Yeah.
It's great up till like the last 30 seconds.
Right.
She had an album. Imagine what her whole album sounds like. And one of my friends was doing her promo. And he said in between interviews in London, they would go around all these like high-end stores and she would just take stuff off shelves and then walk out with it and they'd say you go like Marianne what are you doing she go oh I don't pay for stuff just like totally lost
that's
in showbiz.
That's the goal in life.
Well my other goal for her because there was two things she used to just take stuff and assume she'd get it for free because everyone would go oh you're Marianne Faithfull you're all right you used to have a heroin problem that thing with the Mars bar it's affected her so there was she was troubled by the Mars bar but the other thing was apparently he dropped her off at her apartment after a day of effectively stealing and promo. It's like Beastie Boys rhyming and stealing is what she was doing. And apparently he dropped her off at her apartment and she said, could you come in for a minute? And he was like, oh God, is this going to be inappropriate? Is she going to like bring out the Mars bar and want like a veggie? She's an old woman by this point. No, she said, she stared at the trash can and went, can you help me with that, please? And he goes, well, she goes, well, normally there's someone here who just does it. I don't know where it goes. And he had to take out her trash because she didn't know about taking the trash out of the garbage.
You get somebody to come up and just point to things and they
do it. I don't. And he's like, well, you just take it out the back where the bins are. And she goes, shrugging her shoulders. I don't bin.
So did you take
it? There are bins out the back.
That was you.
And then she got out. And then she said, oh, by the way, when you come back, could you insert this Mars bar?
Yeah, she played with the Mars
bar. She sounds like the, who's the comedian that does the Dame Judi Dench?
Tracy Ullman. Yeah, Tracy Ullman's thing on where she makes Dame Judi Dench. She's an amazing impression, but she makes her do horrible things.
Uh-huh.
I would never do such a thing. I'm Dame Judi Dench.
Oh, sorry, Mom.
Her hands are covered in the thing she just stole.
Yeah.
No, of course
not. Well, that's that British thing about being very British and proper. Dame Judi Dench could get away with being filth because she talks like that. Yeah. In the same way that Ben Kingsley can say the C word and it doesn't sound offensive.
Sexy beast.
I know.
Right, close it up,
right? Ozzy Osbourne is suing AEG for the requirement that he plays the Staples Center in L.A. if he wants to do the O2 in London.
Oh. So,
let's see. We'll get you the O2, but you have to
do Staples.
Yeah.
So he's going to sue him. Yeah. Why not just pick a couple different venues?
Oh. Also, it's kind of boring now because, like, Sharon's doing the suing because obviously Ozzy can't read them, right?
Yeah, he's not doing
it. You know, back in the day when things were more rock and roll, she used to take a dump in a box and send it to people.
Yes.
There was no lawsuit coming.
Bruce Dickinson?
Tony Iommi.
Tony Iommi, okay.
Yeah.
He got the box of Sharon's poop.
Yeah, exactly.
That used to be how we'd settle things.
That's what I'm saying, Sharon. You're letting the side down. You've got old and boring. You're in your 60s now.
See, this is what we have to look forward to.
Oh, come on, Eric.
That's unbelievable.
You brought that up.
There you go. Well, you can still take a dump in a box for 20 more years.
You've got time to boxes all you want.
Two more decades of that.
I might send you some.
That would be great.
Oh, great.
When's your birthday?
End of June.
End of June.
All right, it's coming.
You got that.
There we go.
I'm not bothered about it, though. You're the one who's bothered by it.
Brew a good one.
I'll get it ready now. Set it out in the sun.
Yeah. Let it cook all summer long.
Yeah, great.
Oh, Eric sent me a gift. Probably a pair of big shorts.
There's some Jankum.
Yeah.
Oh, no, look, it's a polywool.
If only I knew in advance it was his birthday on Friday, we could have baked him a cake.
Oh, yeah, you could have a
cake. Big pink cake.
Yeah.
With
a Halford cake.
Multi-light candles on it.
Damn it. Yeah, that would have been great.
Well, was it good? Was the cake good?
I didn't get any of it.
Oh, you didn't get
it. Well, no, neither did we. I told that story about the... This is what happens when you have a birthday party with a bunch of queens.
Gakes taken home.
Oh, my God, there's like a gake war. Because we went... No, there was. Will and I went to someone else's house for Rob Halford's birthday, and I said to Will, bake him a cake, because he likes cake and you're good at baking stuff. We took a cake... And the person whose house the party was at, right, had also baked a cake. And then there was like a gake-off over the table because he went, oh, you brought a cake as well? And I'm like, yeah, because Rob doesn't drink, so I wasn't going to bring any booze. And he's like, oh, okay. And then when it came to dessert, well, the other queen goes, well, I'm going to serve... I'm laughing at this. He goes, I'm going to serve my cake. Rob, you can take Ian and Will's cake home with you. It's
like, yeah, so you just gave your cake
And then
away.
The next day I got a picture of Rob cutting the cake, and I showed it to Will, and he's like, well, I would have liked to have known what the cake tasted like, but I didn't, did I?
Man, make another one.
Well,
for Eric's birthday.
For a cake.
And like that box, just fill it with...
Is this chocolate?
I say, no, it's...
It's what, English toffee.
Yeah, I say, no, Eric, Brits always say that the chocolate in England, in America isn't up to standards. This is what it tastes like in England.
Oh, it's a bit more nutty.
Take a big bite.
Oh, make it happen, Ian. Make it happen. We're done. That's it. Eric's last day at 39 is...
This is it.
Happy birthday, Eric.
Tomorrow.
It's over.
We're done. Larry McFeely is coming up next. You guys have yourselves a great day. We'll see you tomorrow here in the Morning Sickness. So long.
Big, red, badass.